Commission meeting, November 14th, 2019.
Call to order. Please rise and flag to it. Chief Cahill, please lead us.
Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lisa, roll call, please.
Commissioner Crevel?
Here.
Commissioner Langria?
Here.
Mayor Holtzman?
Here. Pursuant to the Open Public Meeting Act, as noted, this meeting has been provided in accordance with the law. Before we get started, we have a moment of silence for the veterans. This past Monday was Veterans Day. For the people in the audience, just so you know why we're sitting down here and we're not up there, myself and my Commissioner Langria, Commissioner Crevel, this table is surrounded by our department heads and one meeting a month. Sometimes we skip depending on what's going on. We have all the department heads and they present to us what's going on in their individual departments, and it's part of our workshop. So after the department heads go through what they have to say about their individual departments, then we'll go into, we'll go into our workshop portion of the meeting where we, the commission, discuss what we're going to vote on after the workshop. We then go right into a voting meeting. So just so you know, there are public portions. The first public comment portion is on the things that we will be voting on. So if you're here for something that has nothing to do with our agenda, you will be able to speak at the very end of the voting part of the regular meeting, just so you know. I talk fast, so we'll go fast. But just, we're not used to seeing people here, so I really don't know why we have people. That's actually exciting. But just so you know, this is our process, okay? So we do not have any presentations this week, and we do have department. So we'll start with Jim Pakinowski. Just say your name and your department, because we do actually have people here tonight.
Jim Pakinowski, I'm an Arch Minister of the city. I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet. The biggest thing that we have, we're working on right now, is we're still working on the door security project. We did receive our final quote for all of the doors. The total of that was $75,255. Once we reviewed it with Kathy, she decided that we wouldn't need to go out to bid for it since it was too much. Based on going out to bid and the lead time, because it's about 10 to 12 weeks to get the doors, once we give them a purchase order, we're probably looking May to June before the door security project is finalized. I would guess that the bid wouldn't be, based on the commission meetings, we wouldn't be able to go out until probably January.
For the public, the security doors that Jim is speaking about are the doors within City Hall, the public building, and most of the offices, all the offices. People can come in and just walk right into an office. And unfortunately, with the world we live in, we feel that our staff need to be more secure. That's what he's talking about.
So we would have a resolution that approved going to bid.
Yeah, Kathy's going to write up the bid specs, and then we'll do a little resolution to go out to bid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she should have that.
Kathy's going to write the bid specs.
Yeah, what she did, she took the quote that we had from the resort vendor, and she's going to utilize that to write it up, and that breaks it down exactly what we're looking for.
Can you copy me on that?
Yeah, once again, the next thing is our Office 365 email and cloud project. We received the final quote from Dell and Microsoft. It's a three-year agreement for a total of $13,495.86 per year. to take all of our email from an in-house system to a cloud-based system with Microsoft. Right now, the contract is being reviewed by Tim McGuire, so we can have that finalized. Once we have that, it should be about 46 weeks to get that entirely set up. I'm not sure if Tim's going to speak on it or not, but now we have very basically finished the final setup and training on the e-ticket program for the police department. It's in six of the vehicles. We have three tablets that are set up in order to be e-ticketing. Today was the testing stage in which we would write the live ticket, and then they would send it up to the AOC to verify it. And once they send the approval, we would be able to watch it. So it should be live within the next. So I didn't hear if we'd gotten the final approval yet today, but that should be able to go within the next.
So more efficient, it reduces the chance for error. No more double keying thing than writing.
No handwritten tickets. Everything is immediately goes from the vehicle right to the court office. So they don't have to hand anything in. The court doesn't now have to double entry or stuff. So it's all right there.
Especially in the summertime when we're doing certain neighborhoods that are high density, you're going to be able to get to it quicker. So not a little.
But
it's going to make it more efficient. It's enforcement.
Where it might take them 5 minutes to write 4 or 5 tickets, they can do that less than that. Just go simply, and then change a few buttons here. Right. It's going to be much more efficient, much easier for everybody all around. The last thing is I started working on the budget prep for next year. Probably the two biggest things that I'll have in my budget is new upgraded phone system and cameras within the city as a whole. This building, public works, library, fishing pier, a couple other areas that we have. That's it.
Great. The electronic lock in order to prove that the weight in line.
Wait until the doors are done, yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't make sense to try to put them in now.
No.
So we're going to replace the doors, which are old and fall apart. Okay. Anyway, that'll all happen once they do that.
Great.
Okay. You have more to go?
If I could, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
I didn't test my phone, but I will.
Okay, yeah, let me know if I need to look at it. It's part of the call.
That's out of the number to look at the call.
I feel like I'm calling.
We will have Bill, because it's your birthday, and after you speak on our tax office, you may leave.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Happy birthday. My name is Bill Crowder, tax assessor here. I just wanted to go over how vendors are doing as a whole with the building. As you guys see, we drive through town all the time. The building is insane. It's really going crazy. And there's a lot of sales going on, which are selling for a little bit more because people are improving their properties and selling them. Our ratio went from 2016, 108.67, and this year we're at 95.38, which is good. The closest to 100, the better. We're at 92, 93 last year, so 95.38 is really good. And our coefficiency of deviation, which is all the sales that come in for class one, which is vacant lots, class two, which is basic houses and commercial properties. Our general COD went from anything under 15 is really good. 2016 was at 20, almost 22. 17 was 17. Last year was at 14, and this year we're at 12, which means that the sales are tighter. Meaning the usable sales, or sales that are arm's length sale between one buyer and one seller, are a lot closer to what the assessed value is, which is really good. It keeps you much further away from having to do any kind of rebounds.
Right. So you're saying if you were to do like a scatter chart of this, it would be closer to what our evaluation few years ago had justified.
Exactly.
Right.
And that they're just usable sales, meaning new houses they're not in that ratio, and any kind of foreclosures aren't in that ratio. These are just houses as they were in 2016 selling today are selling very close to what we have the new assessed value at.
Wonderful. Great.
And that's all I have.
That's it. Okay. Go enjoy your birthday. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Sure.
Jared?
Thomas?
Yes. Jared Thomas, Recreation Department. I'm going to talk about the things that are starting for the fall that we've advertised and classes are starting. Classes for adults are in their second week, and the kid classes are in their third week because they start them on the Saturday, for Saturday morning classes. We are starting to get busier now with the fall season. But football is over. We're turning a lot more time into the school. So we'll have more basketball teams. We have tryouts this Saturday for third and fourth grade boys and girls, for little guys. And we do need some coaches for those. We did put a flyer out to the parents that we do need some coaches for that age group. Also, the bus trip is a little bit more than half full, and we have a month to go, so I'm sure it will fill the bus up. December 14th, the week after.
To New York City.
New York City, yes.
So everybody else knows that. We know that.
Shopping trip.
Good trip. How much is that? Because we get a lot of people coming.
That's $40. It's on the website, but I'll check it in.
$40? Okay.
$40, yes. And we're coming up, we have some stuff that came through the rec board for pickleball and our favorite pickleball and tennis. Is that it's growing fast. There's a lot of people really excited about it, and they actually have their own board which reports to the rec board, and they're looking to do tournaments and they want to do more. So we just felt as the rec board that we needed to kind of get a little more grip on the pricing of it and the management of it, the tournaments, that we don't think that the city or the rec board should be the ones running the tournaments all the time. You know, that we're responsible for the t-shirts, we're responsible for trophies. That owner should be on the ones running the tournament, and they should be the one there. And they basically pay us a fee and the court fees. So that is coming up, I believe, in January once we straighten all the paperwork out for that.
Sure, that would be similar to volleyball.
Exactly. It's because we want it to grow, but we can't manpower it, and we can't run every, thing in the city.
And volleyball's done that way for years.
Yes, it's been done that way, and that's the way we do baseball tournaments. Teams come in from out of town, they come to the rec board, they get approval, they show the insurance, and then we go from there. And they're responsible. They have to have an on-site person that, we stay in contact with, but they're there, we're not there all the time. So that's what we're trying to get back to.
New courts won't be
And the other thing that we're going to solve with that is the instructors. We're getting a lot of interest in instructors for tennis lessons and instructions for pickleball lessons. So we wanted to be fair to everyone. So again, this comes through the rec board. As we sat down over the summer and with the pickleball people, that we try to come up with some regulation for that. That'll be coming up on a resolution, but that was more to make sure that the person instructing is an official instructor, has either some background as a coach, or maybe they play tennis pro or college. And then, again, the onus goes back on them, that they would have to have insurance to cover them. And then, in order for us to better monitor it, and not is be on top of them, is that they would pay a fee, an initial upfront fee, to do this. And then we could have 3 or 4 tennis, people, instructors. And they would pay the fee up front, so then we wouldn't have to watch how many people they signed up each week, how many people they did this day, what's our percentage of this. It was just too much. And I think it would be fairer to do it this way, and that's what the board felt. It would be fair to everyone and give everybody a chance, and then they would be able to be an instructor. So that's two things that are coming up. But the reason why that, I wanted to just get through them.
We also carved out times for them to do
There is a certain time, because our mornings is when everything is busy. So there will not be any lessons given from 8 o'clock in the morning till noon. All instructions will be from noon till late at night. and there's only a certain court you can use, so we'll keep the other courts free. And then we bought some stanchions to kind of square off the corners so the balls don't be going all over the place. So, you know, we'll try to do it that way. But getting back to that, and the reason why pickleball and tennis, I'm just going to go back to 2018, pickleball did a total of 31-35. This past year, we did 11,775. So you can see the use that there is there, and what I really like, and I think it's, you know, because of the way we operate as a union here, everything doesn't just go. I mean, everybody knows what's going on. Kim knows what's going on. Marie knows what's going on. And it just doesn't happen that our tennis did not drop, even though we took away courts. It didn't drop. So our tennis actually stayed the same, but we gained the pickleball. So it was, you know, a good move. So we went from between the two, tennis and pickleball, from last year, they brought in a little over 16,000 total, which is great, more than we were doing before. But this past year we did 25 between the two. So it's very popular. So that was the reason why we had to try to get better hold of what we're doing down there, so we can have some more tournaments and do some more stuff and bring the numbers up and not lose it.
Yeah. I think the other thing is that that area in the summertime is totally engaged. Oh, the group has made it a real community feeling there now.
Yeah,
the pickleball section is not utilized practically at all. Yeah. So it's a big one.
Yes. So I just want to explain what was going on and how I wanted to tie that in, why we're doing these things, because we need to do these things. I just want to give a shout out, because at the meeting Tuesday night, our Ventnor Pirate football team, our varsity team, actually got into the semifinals, which we haven't gotten into in years. We had our team win 7-3. And just 2 and 3 years ago, we were worried about even having a team because we were down to like 11, 13 kids on each level. And it was a little scary. You know, either kids not being able to practice or getting hurt, not having the numbers. You know, the concussion thing. So it was great to see everything over there. And they were very appreciative of everything that was done for them. They wanted to make sure that they thank the city and especially the public works department, because the work crew and the maintenance team that they do on our field, people come to our field and love to play there. I'll just pass some of the work that the guys did for the weekend of the Halloween game.
Yeah, I saw that.
So you can see.
I love it. So
the guys really take. They really get involved with the Pirates and any activities that we do over there. So again, we want to thank, make sure the Public Works did a great job with that. And,
Fisher.
And Steve Basner helped. So yeah, he did a great job. And they're always really helpful. The last game they played, if you remember, we had a lot of rain. And the back field behind there was flooded. And not only did Public Works, but we got from the fire department to the police department, brought over the stanchions to block the puddles off so it didn't look like a mess. It was organized.
Right.
So they brought all the stanchions so people can walk clearly and not, you know. Yeah, exactly. So it was really well
done. We work in the city now,
Jack. Yeah. So everybody seems to, I have to say, we all seem to get along well and work together. Whenever we call a department for help, it's always help there. In the future, we're looking at a few things and probably redoing the tennis courts this year, upgrading them, putting new nets, bringing in the blue paint for them. And I think we're going to be replacing the volleyball lights on the courts outside because they need to be replaced. So Ed and I work on that together. So, okay.
Thanks, sir.
Great, wonderful. Do you have somewhere to go, or you should?
No, I'm good.
Jimmy?
I'll see you, Jim.
Okay, now I'm back. Jim Agnino, I'm the construction official, zoning officer, and department head for all the code enforcement. And from January till now, we have 37 new homes with about $13,500,000 in construction costs. And that's probably low because they feel it's going to affect their taxes, so they don't want to be 100% approval of that.
Where's Bill? Get Bill in.
Eight more house raises were completed this year so far. They're continuous. As you ride around, you still see them up in the air. We're being raised. We had 357 sales so far this year. And I would say 75% of them are second homes. Some people appreciate that, some people don't, but we're turning definitely into a resort. I've been here for a while, and you see a big difference in, like I said, who's buying and what they're using these homes for. Violations as far as code enforcement, we sent out 2,100 notices for code enforcement, whether it's to have your house painted, lids on the trash cans, which are no longer a big issue, cut grass, what have you. So nobody gets picked on except for those 2,100.
That was for the year so far?
So far to date, yes. We're working on with the commission now. We're meeting in the next week or two with a company that monitors the Airbnbs. We can't get the addresses of these homes. We can get pictures of them off the internet, but we can't get the addresses. Somehow these third parties get the addresses. They register them, they monitor them, they have 24/7 hotline in case there's an issue. All in all, it's pretty quiet this summer with the Airbnbs. We had a few complaints, but it's usually just because you got people that are full-time residents and their neighborhoods turning into rentals, but it's legal. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. And like I said, we're going to make sure that they're all registered and follow the regulations in town. PD, if they call my office or I ask the police department to stop by some of these properties, they talk to them nicely, and usually that's the end of the issue. That's all I have.
On that Airbnb, if you follow the national news, actually, San Francisco is where Airbnb started. And they actually are being proactive. They had some issues out in California recently. So they are no longer going to rent for one night. That happens to be a party, New Year's Eve, Halloween, different nights. So they are, in the next 12 months, they're not allowed single night rentals of Airbnbs now. So Airbnbs is a brand name. So these are short-term rentals. The other ones, you've got VRBO. They have not, that I've seen, followed suit, but at least Airbnb is the most recognizable. They're going to be more proactive because they're going to get sued. If you recall, we had an issue on New Year's Eve here. And that was an Airbnb. It was a one-night rental. So that's something that we're being proactive with. This company will come in. It's not going to be cheap. It's going to be several thousand dollars to hire them each year to monitor and track these Airbnb locations. So we have more information on them. And the property owners, pay the mercantile fee they're supposed to pay and be stand up about the properties.
And I know they make noise with the commission. They very heads up. Nobody's ignoring this by no means. And if any changes have to be made, I'm sure we'll make them. But right now,
don't want to change nobody out of town.
Yeah, we want people to
come into our community.
And spend time and money in our town. But there were, if I remember, it was close to 250 in that neighborhood, in that, which was surprising numbers.
Yeah.
It was like 80 or 55 registered.
Right.
And as we find those, they get fined.
250.
But this probably should, I think, indicate to you,
mostly in Atlanta.
Produce revenue to cover the cost.
Yes, we should pretty much break even in our, that's their part.
Right. But I think it sets a precedent that we're paying that. But again, you want to also encourage the board.
And also, I believe the movie theater are shooting for January now. And that seems also at some time after the first year. And they're pretty busy over there.
Yeah, so there's a lot of progress and things over there.
And you can jump on a lot of people that stay in like lights on there late at night.
No, I've been there a few times and I don't see anything going on.
Yeah.
No.
They're on, they're off.
Yeah.
And I get no calls on that place, surprisingly, because I get calls on everything and I get nothing, no interest in that. And I don't know whether they have it deed restricted.
They do, they put retail food restrictions on. You can't do another convenience store.
Can't do a convenience store.
If you look at any of the other ones, there's one out across the street from the Wawa, it's open, and Whitworth's Place, they put a box office or something.
Right.
They will not allow another, no competitors like you swear, so. Yeah. Or a punch to put a box. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
So, Jimmy, did you need to go somewhere?
No, I enjoy your company.
No, thanks.
Yeah, you want to stay to hear my.
We're staying to hear your friend. It's startling in the job.
I'm Susie John, I'm the cultural arts director. So we had a wonderful summer and having a good fall so far. We have classes with dance for kids and adults and visual arts classes for kids and adults. We have a new after school class for kids age 6 and older, which has been great and well attended. And then we found that with the introduction of arts education in schools, in Margate schools and in our schools sometimes. That's a need, so we're paying for the school class, and it seems to be really well received. We also have a holiday show coming up December 7th. We have 25 vendors, all local, all handmade, modern jewelry, mosaics, and all different kinds of art, local artists, and that's and music, live music, and food. It's going to be really fun. So anybody wants to come, December 7th. And we have ongoing mosaic mural community art projects that we had a big workshop for and have the community come and work on that. And that's going to go where the new playground is on the library side. It's going to be a little bordering that. So about that. So that's all I have.
I just want to piggyback since you mentioned the Christmas holiday show, what do you call it? Holiday show on December 7th. Mm-hmm. You're 10 to 4, correct?
10 to 4.
So if people go there and shop, they can just walk up to Ventnor Avenue because that is where we are having our Twilight Holiday Parade, our coordinators here in the audience. And this, because it is December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, this year our Grand Marshals are veterans from the various divisions. Am I correct, Shelley?
Yes, branches of military.
Branches of military. So they will be our Grand Marshals. And every year, the parade seems to get better and better, bigger and better. We Shelley also managed to get mummers. And we have mummers and we have string bands and she's got a flyer. So it's the same day as your show, which is great. The city, there's something going on from 10 in the morning until that evening. So that's great. I like that it's on the same day. So, and the rain date for the parade is Sunday.
We'll say
drink. Charge.
Shelley can charge. So I just wanted to bring that up since you mentioned it.
A lot of people do that. They bark on the new haven before the meters are area.
Yeah, they walk, exactly, great, yes. Lisa?
So our office continues to do the day-to-day stuff, processing, I'm Lisa Hand, I'm the city clerk. So we continue to prepare the packets for tonight's meeting, prepare resolutions, prepare the ordinances, the process vital statistics. This year, we're up to 350 dog licenses, which is up from last year, which is good. We processed 155 working seal licenses for 2019. We worked really hard this year to make sure that everybody is current. So that was a big project, and with the help of Al. So kudos to him, he did a great job. So that was good. I attended two continuing education classes in the month of October. And we worked with Trump Retreat, help with that, which was a good success.
Great.
And 2020 beach tags are hopeful to be on sale on Tuesday.
We designed it this year, correct?
We did not.
Yeah.
Margie.
Did you get them?
So you'll come to City Hall, my window, room 5, and we hope, yeah, just my window, and we hope to have them on sale on Tuesday. And that's all I got. Yeah, yeah.
And the holiday badges are how much?
$12.
Because they come with it.
They have a nice gift box, yes. And they're really cute this year.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so can we have that? Al?
Hi, I'm Al Stanley, the CFO. I've been working primarily on the budget. I'd like to thank everybody for giving me the requests already. I appreciate that. I also did a sheets this year for capital requests so that I have everything together from the departments. We arranged meetings with the commissioners to discuss budget, go over it for each one department at a time. So we go over that. I was working on looking at the revenues. I'll know better after December 31st when the year closes, but construction fees are up. They were doing good well with the assessment, so I don't see any problems with the revenues this year so far, would. And so I hope everything works good with that. Also, we're talking on a project where I'm requesting for this piece of software that I'm going to use to generate quotes. It basically, you put in the spec of what you want, and it generates quotes. So like instead of us having to search for quotes and have to look around, you can do it throughout the country, too, not just standardized. You put in the specs of what you want, it'll find out, it'll give you the prices from you. You can do up to 5 quotes, you can do 100 quotes.
So,
give you a vendor, give you everything. It also had the ability, you could look to see what all other entities throughout the state purchased. So like you can see like, what Margie paid for some certain items and you see what other vendors can do.
What departments would that do?
Well, here's what if I choose to get the products, I get 3 licenses.
Okay.
It would be, and I would prefer the license to use the most would be Public Works and the Police Department.
Okay.
But then and all the other departments, they can just say, I need this and I can put it. It's not like they're unlimited to like 5 farms as well.
Right. No problem with the U.S.
But I think it'll help us a lot. Especially for, even if we don't use the quotes, but with the threshold under $6,000 right now, but we can still do it just to get better prices. I know we use like CPW a lot for a lot of products because it's under state contract, but it seems to be that's the most expensive one. And I like to sometimes get around and get better deals on that. And that's all I'm looking to do. And but other than that, that's primarily what I'm working on is success every year is what it's a monumental test. I think that's what I'm working on primarily for right now and for all projects, but most people don't do that. And that's all I have.
Ed?
Mayor.
You're welcome.
Ed Stinson, I am the superintendent of Public Works and the city engineer. I'm going to start with Ernie's report for tonight. Ernie had a late night dealing with a water main break. Last night he was out all night.
But it's all better, correct?
All fixed, patched for now. On the agenda tonight for the water sewer, resolution 365, awards contract for fire hydrants for $50,000. That's our water main.
Which one is it?
That was Monmouth and the fire.
Oh, no, that's the break.
That's the break. Yeah, resolution.
I'm looking for fire hydrants.
Resolution 365.
Okay. And that's for, that's to Water Works Supply Company, right?
To supply 20 fire hydrants. That supports the program we have with the fire department to replace fire hydrants throughout the island. That continues every year. Our water usage for October is 33 million gallons. We've met all standards. Well number 8 is out of service while we change our chlorination from gas chlorine to calcium chloride. Once that well is put back in service, once that changeover is complete, that well will go back in service and we'll take well 10 out and do the same change from gas to calcium chloride. Our hydrant flushing was completed in October. We continue to replace hydrants and especially with the award of that contractor tonight. Lead and copper sampling will start in the spring of 2020. That's a PVT requirement. We have completed the sprinkler system winterizing along with the boardwalk shower winterizing, the bathroom winterizing, and our wastewater system is operating. For public works, the winter prep is complete. The flag and banners are down. The irrigation on the public grounds is complete. Public restrooms, the fishing gear, all that has been winterized. The boardwalk showers have been removed. All the trash recycling enclosures have been taken off the beach. We are now prepping for winter, so thanks to the storm that we had the other day, we did get all our salt spreaders ready, we had our plows prepared, so we're working our way through that, but we'll be ready should that be coming. We're prepping for the holiday lights, so we have, we're working with Atlantic Electric to replace damaged and non-working outlets. There's about 18 of them throughout the town that we are replacing. Atlantic Electric has been re-energized. We're also adding 17 new locations. And at the same time, Atlantic Electric will be able to energize those new outlets.
So we'll be able to put more of the full lights on Dorset Avenue this year?
That is correct.
That's the combination of the different decorations. And then we ordered additional stone fill.
That is correct.
For better.
For better. Yeah. So we have 17 new, I think four are on Dorset Avenue, four additional.
Yes, because that was scarce on Dorset this year.
And the rest of the majority of the remaining are on better Avenue. I think we have two down the business district.
Great.
For construction, for engineering, the streetscape project is ongoing and near completion. Landscapers were in today working on the bay side. We'll be back tomorrow, hopefully to finish up that side. They should be in next week, the later part of next week before the completion side. Sanitary sewer replacement on Kingsley Drive and Wellington Avenue. Lafayette Avenue drainage project is ongoing as well. The drainage work is complete, and sanitary sewer work on Kingsley is ongoing. Winchester Avenue drainage project, which is Washington Avenue and also New Haven intersections, that contract has been awarded to Marandino Concrete, and the pre-construction meeting is scheduled for tomorrow. And then we'll get a construction schedule on that project.
Time is up.
Correct. In my office.
drainage improvements in Marshall and Oxford. The engineering design is complete, and we are scheduling a bid date with Kathy. And we, at this point, look to hopefully award it in December. The library window replacement project. I met with the engineer on Tuesday, and we anticipate going out to bid the end of this month, and having a bid opening in December for that project. The capital permit modification for the fishing pier has been received by the DEP. They requested one clarification, so not even a change. It was just a clarification on the bottom, so I think that is moving in a positive direction.
If added 10 pumps.
No, it's a lot of course. On the agenda tonight is resolution 358, which is amending the contract with Sosh Architects for the bid preparation. And essentially, that would be for them to hold a pre-bid meeting with potential vendors to approve the project. Everything starts at that point for the beer bed. So it's important to have that so that people go into the bid, understand, and more clarity. So that will be moving forward very quickly. I put on here playground repairs mainly because for the most part they are done. But we'll be recommending that we add another swing station at the library park playground earth room. It is there where we can expand, and I think there is a need for it.
Yeah,
this is a way to get the old stuff out
and get started.
Clean slate, get something there, and we can all
we have swings right there, right? Yes. You want more swings?
Reconstruction of Newport Avenue from Monmouth Avenue to the Bay, that's a municipal aid grant. That contract has been awarded to Mathis Construction. The construction is ongoing. The storm sewer pipe has been installed. That work is completed. Contractor started today, and the concrete work will be going on early next week, and then paving following. Hopefully, that project will be complete early. Newport Avenue Municipal Parking Lot Improvements, that engineering design contract has been awarded to an engineer at the last meeting. I had a meeting with Dorn to go over scope of work, plans, and that I also did in check and completed my meeting first. The NJDOT Municipal Aid Grant for reconstruction of Hampshire Drive, that engineering contract has also been awarded to Blasio Associates. They have been out and completed the survey work, and we're waiting for the face map to be completed, and this is going to go over the first round of this map. The Municipal Aid Grant 2019, which is Dorset Avenue, from Wellington Avenue to Burke Avenue. That engineering design contract has been awarded to Dorn Engineering. Likewise, that survey has started and has not been completed yet. Met with Durham Engineering last week to go over the kind of the kickoff meeting, and that project probably will go out to bid in the spring for a fall construction. And on tonight's agenda, which is resolution 370, the award contract to engineering services to Remington and Furnick for the Dorset Avenue sanitary sewer main replacement from Calvert to Monmouth. It is an asbestos sewer pipe that has a failure in it. It's a 10-inch pipe carries a fair amount of weather, and we're trying to head off an emergency here. So it's a $46,000 contract that we could remove them. That along with the
backwards.
This is for the design. And
they're aware of that concrete road right
there. They're aware. And the contractor will be aware. Also, on the agenda, resolution 371. So
is award a contract to Bill William McQuaid's Architecture to prepare conceptual design drawings for the renovation of the boardwalk pavilions in the amount of $2,750. It is to produce renderings of what an improvement to the pavilions would look like so that that can be used to solicit sponsorships, potential sponsorships.
This kind of came up out of our conversations with the, looking at new products on the boardwalk, your bathroom and the light cart station, trying to come up with kind of an idea for more unified architectural vocabulary on the boardwalk and including the roof lines for those three, for the, those two buildings and these enclosures to be the same, potentially doing like a standing seam metal roof in the same color. And then adding AZAC around those like a second ball with the structures to make them, but all three of those buildings have kind of a unified a red or whatever color it may be. I think it creates a Newport Avenue cops, right, on that. Right now, it's just those, we're looking to solicit sort of like naming rights for those three areas, and that, and this would be a way to help solicit those, to make them look like an attractive combination. Exactly.
And at the same time, you're getting, you received a proposal for design and signage.
Right. So, so at the same time, we're going to sort of get rid of the visual noise on the boardwalk, but we have a lot of mismatched signs, a lot of posts. So the idea behind that would be that we're removing those bent posts that have mismatched signs and a mixture of signs in different places, and just come up with a single group of signs. One that would stay consistently, and then two that would be switched out seasonally. Because our hours change and for different things like dogs on the beach and bike riding. So that way it's not going to seem like such a...
Too much information.
Yeah, we're trying to simplify, put it in anyway. Right. And also clean up. Also clean up the language so we'll all have like the same kind of blue on white that the street lights already have. So. No more. But I'm excited for that kind of thing. I think it's a first impression people have. It's our single biggest draw.
Visual.
And it's going to have, it's going to show that we're paying attention. Yeah.
Meters.
Yeah.
Drunk
meters.
Can
we circle back to the showers? Does your budget include replacing all of the showers with new kiosks?
Each year, we're doing several of them. If Ernie's got three more this coming year. So doing chunks of them,
right?
As we go through,
sure. I think you have another big thing on the board on there.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. And then
we are looking at moving.
That's right.
Most of the I'm not so sure what it was. Where we have back beaches.
Right.
We already talked about that, but this end from the library, pulling them steady, we pull them down to.
Right. I think it's a good idea.
Oh, it's more
public. It's safer for the people that are hungry. The same amount, sorry, but next to the ashtray. The same for the school, is that taking some of the pedestrian bike ideas that they came up with?
Yeah.
So that there's some really interesting traffic patterns out there. So that we have to assume that's going to be used.
At the school, so one Lafayette and Calvert and Bentonville.
Right.
That's the scope of that.
Takes a piece of that.
Takes a piece of that. Because
one Lafayette. To do all of that would be too cumbersome at one time. Too
right. Right.
So that, if you see what I think some of what Mark Eight's doing now to drive down Monmouth Avenue, Amherst, and some of the stuff they're doing there, that's part of their stuff that they started to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can see. Some of it is going to change some of the traffic patterns of those intersections.
Yeah.
You know, that are five, so that's kind of a five points going.
Yeah, right, where someone turns it like a double right, where they try to make a right when there's really not a right.
So you'll see, well, this will be the design of it. So
great. And then we also want to say about the Newport Avenue Municipal Parking Lot. Does that include signage as well in that? So we'll give it I think that's a big, that's going to be a big help for San Francisco and anybody else that goes in that area. Very thankful.
And we're investigating the parking lot, so which is premature. So I'm Marie Menta, city administrator, and at the moment I'm reporting for Margaret Pacanowski, the tax collector, who couldn't make the meeting tonight. So she wanted everyone to know the fourth quarter water bills will be mailed out, and they are due December 20th, and we're grace period to December 30th. The delinquent notices will be mailed out next week, reminding that the fourth quarter and prior have been paid. And the online tax sale is December 27th. The first group of letters have been sent out. There will be two other letters within the month of December to remind those that are getting them, hopefully a lien will be placed on the property so you can make the payment. I don't usually report, but I wanted to let you all know a couple things we did in the last couple weeks. We had a capital meeting, and Mike was there, Ed, Al, Geology and David Funk and Tim. And we actually went through the extensive priority list from 2017. Just, I have copies here, but I'll show you if you remember what this looked like. I wanted to have a meeting because I was getting concerned with some of the emergencies that happened out throughout the year and how the money was spent, and didn't want to come back to you and say, we only did half the list and there's no money left. And I'm happy to report that just about a lot on that list has either been done or is about to be done. I think there were a few exceptions. We went through every line item. And I was really excited to see what's been accomplished and that we pretty much stuck to the priority list, even given all the emergency issues that we have faced since 2017 when we struck that list.
And the estimated factor as well.
And Al does a fabulous job at keeping track of all that and set up a whole new accounting system so that everybody knows what their item is and what their dollar is instead of grouping them and like who gets to it first, like this one where he goes, and we don't have that guy on
the right. Who thinks it's fabulous? Al and you. Right.
Super helpful.
It's the right way to do it. It's not like that anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Ed, myself, and Doug worked on an end-of-season sort of roadmap for next year, and we got a lot accomplished with that. Of course, everything has been made date. 80% of it belongs to Ed. But that was really good to put together, and we're going to try. Oh, Jimmy, too. Jimmy was part of that. I mean, for some of the things that apply to the construction.
He's not a member of the
So it's good to get through that. That's a really big list. Things that that we have to prepare for every year. And if there's a better way to do it or a better timetable or stick to what we thought, which is what else is not broken. So we went through all that. And then Ed, Doug, and myself canvassed the city, looking at where we have meters, where we don't, loading zones.
Parking, we're going to do the meters over the next few months. We're going to do the parking analysis and study and recommendation over the next year.
So we looked at what's there now, and we have one more little section to finish. But we have lists of things like the poles that are hanging sideways. The one
lights that should come down because there are new meters. We'll have recommendations for a couple blocks to take meters out. We might have recommendations to add meters to a few places, not a lot, just a few things to be consistent and fair. They're in front of one business, they should be in front of another business. Businesses want them.
Right.
Because without them, people park in front of their business all day and lose the opportunity of what shop we're parking there. And Doug had some recommendations on loading zones, you know, how to change them. And that gives us some additional parking too, just that itself, not a lot, but a few spots in there. So we have one more section to do, we ran out of time, and I'll give that to you.
Good.
Great. Thank you.
And last, certainly not least, our fire chief.
My name is Michael Kay, I'm the chief of the fire department. Today was a very good day for the fire department. They started major construction at Station 2 with wall ballast that were delivered today. They put up 120 feet of exterior wall. The panels are 12 feet long, 24 feet high. It's the base frame for the entire structure, which is basically a large concrete block that you just go through. There's a couple different pictures I took today. Very efficient crew coming in to do this today. It's only a 7-member crew. Giant crane and four guys that just pulled everything together. It is, it's absolutely going to be a major improvement for the fire department, and it's going to make our equipment last a lot longer. We'll be able to house inside vehicles that now are outside in the elements. And since we keep our equipment usually 15 to 20 years, this is going to save us a lot of money on vehicle maintenance and overall the way equipment operates and works. They expect to be done the exterior frame, the masonry end of it, by next Friday. All the walls will be up, the ceilings will be in, and they're going to be inside framing. Project's ready to apply in the next couple of weeks. Very, very good day for us on that. The walls toward the front are, I believe, 37 to 40 feet high. It's all prefab. Everything on the exterior is prefab concrete. And it's 1 foot thick with a color layer on the outside, 4 inches of foam insulation for thermal protection, and the interior framing is all more 4 inches of concrete. It's a very structurally robust building. And it's going to last, they say it's a minimum of 100-year building. So, and from where we're coming from into this, we're going from the outhouse to the penthouse. It's a very effective building. It's going to serve the city well for a long time. They're craning in the big panels.
That crane was huge.
No,
it's
100 something. Yeah. That'll be diverted traffic on Wellington by the next week, so please bear with us. There's no other way to get this stuff in.
Did that come in from like that from somewhere?
The large flatbed truck will come in with 2 panels on it. Oh. So they have a rotational crew going to Millville picking up the panels and back all day long.
Mm-hmm. And it's fabricated?
It's all fabricated and over. It's a really nice, it's going to be a nice looking building.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it. Well, that's our Station 2. Our new Quinn apparatus, which was approved a couple months ago, is now in production out in South Dakota. We'll have that hopefully mid-September next year. Moving into this new building, this will be a very valuable piece of equipment for us. It allows us to do our job a lot more efficiently, a lot more effectively, and it's replacing a 32-year-old fire, which I think vendors got well past the money out of that. We've been very lucky in the last month. We received 2 major grants, one from FEMA for $20,000 for its decontamination washer dryer for our gear, which needs to be sent out if we can't clean it appropriately. Now we'll have that ability to do it in-house, and that grant, total cost is $21,000, so out of my budget next year, $1,000 gets us all that equipment, which is really good. And we found out this past week we received a $12,000 grant from the Fire Department of New York, De Bardonero. They raised money for a in the memory of a New York firefighter that was killed in the line of duty when he was unable to escape a 4-4 fire. He didn't have the equipment, it's called a bailout bag, and you can basically tie off and rappel out of the building. Presently, Venter does not have that equipment for any of our members, and the only firefighter in Venter that has ever died in the line of duty would have survived if he had this equipment. So we're hopefully going to have that in-house and trained up by the end of the summer.
How did they pick one? How did the New York Fire Department pick who gets the grant?
I probably cried.
Okay.
we wrote...
It wasn't pretty.
Yeah, we filled out the application. We documented a narrative. We provided background on why we think this would help us. And it didn't hurt that we sent the photo clippings of when Ken Whalen was killed in the line of duty from a 4-4 window. That was a survivable drop at this point of the day. And they tell me the 12,000 this year will be matched next year if we get the 12,000 in service and on. They'll match it to give us the remainder. So the whole ransom, the whole equipment cash will probably cost about $20,000 to train, and they're going to match us another 12 next year, they told me. But until the check shows up, I don't believe it. But I thank them for the offer, and we'll take the 12,000 to start, which is pretty good.
You mentioned here that your plan though is to be building to have an area where you
can repel. It's already
designed into the.
You look at the inside corner of that picture up there in the back, we will have a bailout steel platform for us to do this. I was planning on getting the equipment anyway. This just takes the
train right off site.
Well, we have to train. We can't send people off site to train them. We don't have the ability to pay overtime, send people out, bring people in. I'm going to send people out and train the trainers, and we'll train our own people in house. It saves, I think it's a little more effective when you're training your own people. Because you get to figure out who's doing it right and who you need to fix. Well, we're talking training. We've met and exceeded all of the federal and state required training drills for the year. Including that, we did extrication training in Jaws of Life 2 weeks ago in Venter Heights. 4 vehicles were donated by a local resident who owns a towing company, Anthony Miranda. We were able to train in the city for free on something that we hopefully never really have to do much, but we learned a whole lot by practicing with those tools. And unless you have a vehicle, you can literally crush and cut to nothing. You can't use these tools to fill them. So he was very generous to supply us with cars, and we were able to get good, I think we totaled out 160 hours of training for the members of the department on duty of the command to be paid. Included in our training this year was we retrained the entire department on our new air packs, our bottles we wear on our backs so we can breathe in fires, which we received in a grant from last year. They're all in service and operating now, and they're very effective pieces of equipment. We've begun our capital planning with Al, and he's guiding me through the process. So we have pretty much our needs for the next 5 or 6 years on paper, and he just has to tell me whether they're realistic or not. On the whole, as the end of October came through, our call volume for the department is up 9% from the same day last year. So we're just busier than we did. And we're still trying to get a lot of stuff done.
Thanks, Chief.
Everybody done? So we will take a 3-minute break. The department heads can stay in the audience if you like. If not, you will leave. Have a wonderful night. Thanks for coming. Thanks for doing a great job. To the Becker. We'll go up there and then we'll go into our workshop.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks a lot.